Welcome back to the Pitch Podcast. Here we are. We are building to Pride Cup. It is going to be massive at Cooper Stadium on Saturday. If you are listening to this live, which would be unique because it is a podcast, it's a big week for football in South Australia. It's a big week for football around the world. And it's a big week for the people that make up the football community. Someone who I'm sure is very excited to be a part of Pride Cup, but also equally as excited to continually lead Adelaide United in our A-League women's campaign is Izzy Hodgson. Welcome. I mean, do we have to talk football? Do we talk a little bit of football?
I guess that is what we do, right?
Oh, man, it's really frustrating to be a supporter of Adelaide United. It was a challenging weekend for the women and for the men. Your perspective as the leader of this team where, as a fan, you are like, you know what? Calendar year 2023 can get in the bin. Mm. Calendar year 2024, I like it. And then the weekend.
Yeah. I think, especially for the women, probably the last five games, bar the one we just played, we were building quite nicely. We had a couple of wins, a draw, some good results, good performances, you know, getting some players back from injury, fielding a really strong 11. And then, unfortunately, this weekend, things kind of went backwards a little bit. We took a step back, which is frustrating. We had some key injuries, and unfortunately, they all seem to be forwards at the moment. We've lost a lot of forwards, which is hard when we're trying to score goals. But, yeah, I think for us, Central Coast was a game we probably should have won, and we just didn't really come out and perform as much as we would have liked.
So how do you salvage a season now? There's only a handful of games left for both the women and the men. I mean, what's the message from Stents? Finals are a fair way away. So what are you working on?
I think for us it's just getting as many points as we possibly can in the last games. The good thing is it is top six, and mathematically I believe we can still go there, which is, you know, at least that's in the back of your mind. But for us, it's just getting as many points as we can, as finishing as high up as on the table as we can, and just continually getting in good performances. I think got Melbourne victory this weekend. You know, they're a fantastic team, but we can perform against them. So that's kind of our focus right now. We're kind of leaving Central Coast behind and just focusing more on how we're going to beat victory.
How are you feeling about the season so far as a competition? At the start of the year, we were all excited off the back of a Women's World Cup where the interest and the authentic interest into women's football was there. We've had record crowds and they've consistently turned out. So I know that we've attracted a lot more fans to our game, and we'll touch on the Matildas in a moment. But to have some international players playing, like look at Michelle Heyman's story, is just remarkable to see what's happening. But are you noticing that shift in interest, participation, support?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, building off the World Cup this season has been fantastic in that aspect, barring our performances and where we are in the ladder. Like, if we kind of don't look at that, I think the crowds and the hype around it and people like Michelle Heyman, Torpy going and playing for the Matildas, scoring goals, putting assists in, it kind of puts the A-League on the map to those people who are now interested in the Matildas. You know, a lot of fans have joined the football world new from that World Cup, and I think, it's definitely exciting, and I think we can see it out at games, even with not the performances that we would like. We're still getting great numbers and the fans are still coming out and sticking behind us.
There was an announcement earlier this week that on the 31st of May, the Matildas will play at Adelaide Oval in one of two kind of farewell games before they head over to Paris. So they'll be playing against China here, which is massive. I'm sometimes in two minds about it. Like, I'd love the game to be at Cooper Stadium, but there's a part of me that's also excited that it's not, because going by what happened at Optus Stadium, at Marvel Stadium, this game will sell out and we'll have over 50,000 there, which is great.
Yeah, I think that I was the same. I was like, oh, Cooper's would be the place to do it, but with the crowds that we want to get at women's football games, we need to have it at the biggest places we can. So I think Adelaide Oval will be fantastic, and I'm really hoping we can do what, you know, Melbourne did and sell it out.
And that game in Melbourne, even though, I mean, it was, I don't know, you go there to watch goals scored, I get it, but you also go to watch some good football, and the way that we destroyed our opposition, it is what it is. But still, I feel there's a really good temperature check. And I spoke to a male friend of mine today who said his two sons came to him and said, we need to see the Matildas. The Matildas, for me, feel like Australia's favourite team right now in any sport, which is a really nice thing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So many people who I've known, you know, my whole life and know that I play football and have suddenly started talking to me about the Matildas, and the amount of messages I got after that announcement saying, are we going? Like, are we getting tickets? And I'm like, yeah, of course we're going. Like, we're all going to go. We're going to sell it out. It's going to be good.
That's also something that I think is quite unfamiliar in sport. Like, I don't see a lot of men who aren't playing for the Socceroos going to support the Socceroos. I think sometimes if you play in the sport and you're not selected, you probably turn away at it.
Yeah.
But I can see the genuine interest. I mean, I saw you at the fan zone when the Women's World Cup was here. Like, all of the female footballers have an interest in supporting the national team, whether it's on TV or going there.
Yeah, well, I think it's like it's our team. Like, it's our national team. And I think it just shows, like, they're picking from Australians and the A-League and the people who are Australian playing overseas, and if you don't make it, you're still going to support them because that's your team, and you know you're there to make them better. You're there to, you know, the A-League's here to produce great players to go play for the Matildas. So I think the biggest fan base you're going to get is the players who aren't actually playing for them.
Now this weekend, a double header against Melbourne Victory, the Pride Cup now in its third year, which is great. What does it mean to you? Like, I love talking football with you, but I love the significance of Pride Cup and what it means to you as a person.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's crazy to think it's the third year. I feel like it was just yesterday when we kind of did this big announcement and decided that we were going to, you know, host the first one. But I think it's just built up so nicely, and I think each year it's kind of getting bigger and more recognition, and, I mean, you've probably seen our kits. They're amazing. I can't wait. You know, it's the first time we have dedicated kits for the game. And, you know, Cooper's always looks fantastic at Pride Round, and the fans really get around it. But, I think each year it still means just as much as when we first decided to do it. So it's the one game of the year I kind of circle in my calendar as an exciting one.
When the idea was floated a couple of years ago, you know, the significance of Josh Cavallo speaking openly about his sexuality it shocked a lot of people. It brought people together, but also women's sport and women's football, I feel, has been a lot more of a safer place where women feel comfortable expressing their sexuality.
Yeah, definitely.
We saw with the Matildas throughout the World Cup campaign, there are a lot of players who play for Australia that are in same-sex relationships. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's also helped education, understanding their front of mind? So we see some of our favourite athletes in same-sex relationships, and kids will ask questions, and it's a great opportunity for parents to really talk their kids through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that's 100% correct. Like, the biggest thing is the Matildas are huge, and they had so much media coverage, and with that, their personal stories, you know, come to light, and most of them who are in same-sex relationships are open about it, and then that, you know, it puts it in the public eye, and you're right, kids start to ask questions, and it becomes more normalised and not this taboo topic that, you know, people are shunned to not speak about. But yeah, like you said, in the women's game, it's kind of, for me, it's always been there, like playing and being around the league for about 10 years when I first started, the people like Michelle Heyman were already there and already kind of leading the way. So for us, it's been a long time that it's been safe environment for us, but I still think there's a long way for the men's side of it to go. Obviously Josh has come out, but I wouldn't say it's always smooth sailing for him. I think he would say the same thing. So I definitely think we're on the right way, but we're definitely not there, especially in the men's game.
I couldn't agree more with you. And we saw with basketball 24 months ago, Isaac Humphries was courageous enough, who's now part of the Adelaide 36ers, and he was comfortable to share with his teammates. But we're yet to see in AFL a male footballer speak openly about their sexuality, because I think it's as simple as they don't feel comfortable in the environment that's there to express it. And there would be a big fear of how it's going to be received, which is really sad.
Yeah, it's like like we say, like, football for women and for the LGBTQI+ community in the women's side is a safe environment, but in the men's it's not. And, you know, so I understand some people's opinion where they just want to play their sport. They don't want to be discriminated against because of who they are personally. So you can see why people choose to stay hidden, which is, it's heartbreaking because you think you just want people to be their authentic selves, and to know that a lot of people aren't because of their sport, it's heartbreaking.
And Grace was comfortable enough to tell their story last weekend, and it was a really beautiful story. For people that don't really know much about it, can you share a little bit of light on it?
Yeah, so Grace Wilson is our second goalkeeper, and they have decided to come out as non-binary publicly. Within the team, we've kind of known for a while, but we've always known it's their choice on whether they come out or not. And they are the first non-binary person in the A-League. So it's a huge, huge step. And Grace is young, so 18. Quote me on that, Grace. You're 18. I don't know. I always just say they're 12. So, yeah, so it's pretty fantastic that they felt safe to do that. And obviously as a club, we support them with everything that they do. But yeah, I'm really happy for them.
Is it a sign of the environment where at Adelaide United now, as an organisation, as a club, as a community, we've had Grace being non-binary, players in same-sex relationships in the women's side, and Josh being comfortable to be authentically themselves. If the environment wasn't right and if the sport wasn't right, then I don't feel the players would feel comfortable being themselves. So is it a good representation of off-pitch, the community? Yes, there's elements of it being shit, but there's also a lot of positivity.
Yeah, I think the biggest part is that the club of Adelaide United and the players in the team, obviously can't speak for the men, but from what I've heard through Josh, is that, you know, we're supportive of our teammates. Like, we're a family. We accept everyone for who they are. And, you know, it's more than football. Like, obviously we go out there and we've got a job to do, but, you know, we know that everybody here is a person outside of being a footballer, and we want to make sure that we spend a lot of time with each other, like a lot of time with each other. So you want to be able to be yourself, and you want to feel safe, and you want to feel like you're loved. It is really a family environment.
What do you want to see if we're having this conversation in 10 years' time and you're about to tick over your 1,000th game for Adelaide United?
Crippling on the field, hobbling.
In a perfect world, and through the exposure of the matches this weekend and the education happening, what, in a decade's time, what would you like to be able to say you're proud of that's happened?
Oh, good question. I think for me it would be that I would hope in the men's game it's no longer a taboo topic, and it's no longer something where, you know, a men's player needs to come out. Although what Josh did was fantastic, it was still kind of sad that he had to do that in order to be himself. I think in the women's game, we don't do that. We don't, you know, not every player who identifies as a lesbian, you know, has to come out and say that. We just accept it and we kind of move on. So I'd love to see the men's game get to that stage. But I also, in a whole, I would love the world outside of football to get to a stage where we don't have to come out. Like, it's just how it is. Like, why do I need to come out and tell everybody that I'm going to date women when my sister doesn't need to come out and tell everyone she's going to marry a man? Like, I just feel like if we can get to a world where that doesn't have to happen, I will be super happy.
Bittersweet on the weekend with the result not going our way, but Emily Condon 100 games is pretty spectacular.
Insane. It's insane. And I know a lot of people who are probably fans of the men's game think, oh yeah, 100 games, no worries, but you've got to remember when we first started playing in the A-League, there was 8 games a season, and then there was 12 games a season for a very long time. Yep. And this year is the first year that we have 22 games.
You're also working outside of training. And
so to get to 100 games takes a lot of time. So Condon is a fantastic player. Me and her actually started the same season together at the same time, 10 years ago. And just to see how much she's grown as a player, and anyone who's come to watch our games and watch her play, they know that she's amazing with the ball. Her skill is unbelievable. Mm. Anytime she comes on the field, my game plan is just give the ball to Condon and she'll make magic happen. So we're all super happy for her to get the 100. Obviously, the result wasn't great, but we're going to continue to celebrate it. We've got a home game this weekend for her, so at Cooper's, and that's probably where we want to celebrate her a bit more and definitely get the win.
Well, we hope we get the win and we can celebrate that. We can celebrate Pride Cup as well. Look, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but start hydrating.
Yeah.
Like, start drinking water now.
The fact that I don't have a water in front of me now is not good.
Hydrolyte, like, I double drop Hydrolyte. So sometimes I just have two of the tablets. I'm not at the point of eating a Hydrolyte tablet, but Hydrolyte with everything you can. And congratulations. And I say congratulations because if it wasn't for people like you, we wouldn't be having this authentic celebration of people being comfortable to be who they are. And that's the beauty of this weekend. There are always going to be people that knock it. I know I always talk about my kids, but like, I love that my kids are going to grow up in a world where they get to be whoever they want to be and feel safe doing that.
Yeah.
So because you're living in the moment right now, you probably can't see the impact that you're having on the next generation of kids, but it's massive and it's something that should be celebrated. So well done. Good luck this weekend and go hydrate now.
Yes, I will.